You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall.
Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome back to the first edition of MUA. Fire up MUA. My name's David Ball. I'm here with my usual co-hosts, Robert Lumsden and Aaron Moon. How are you, fellas?
All right. How are you, Dave?
Yep, I'm very good. Missed you guys a lot over the summer.
Did you miss one bit?
Nah, and it actually haven't. No one's really had a break, so it hasn't
been not really.
And, of course, Annie. How are you, Annie?
I'm good. Yeah, it's good to see you back. But you've been very busy.
We have been busy, and the boss can't leave us alone.
Yeah. we hope everyone's had a great break. Those that have taken a break and enjoyed their families over the kids' holidays,
and then thanks to all our members who worked throughout the period and kept the joint running too. So
always tough going to work when your family and friends are enjoying the festivities of the season. But that's what our workers and members do, and. Mostly officials.
You took a week of get on the drink every day with
I did have a few sips, I must admit. I feel like I'm still hungover from it.
Oh, you can still see the sand in your ears from here, mate.
What about you guys? Did you get to have a drink and catch up with the family?
Caught up with the family and all that sort of stuff, but kept working. There was a bit going on, so we ploughed through. We sort of, you know, you weren't here, Shane wasn't here. Somebody had to keep the joint going.
I think I did our last show on leave, wasn't I?
Yeah, it was a bit chaotic, that last show, if I remember correctly, but we did get through it. Thanks to Annie's brilliant editing and sticking it together a bit. That was I did have a listen to it, Annie. It was very good. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you. But there has been a bit going on, like you were saying. The bosses didn't stop attacking us, and we've had some pretty significant disputes kicking off at the moment, being both Patrick's and Switzer. So you want to jump in first, Casper?
Yeah, I'll go first if you like. Both those companies applied to have their enterprise agreements, applied to the Fair Work Commission, have those enterprise agreements torn up and thrown out. If there wasn't an election coming up, you couldn't see all the, and Qantas have done it, but in our sphere, it's been those two major companies. As I said, if it wasn't an election coming up, they wouldn't be doing this. They've got their mates backing them, no doubt, the Conservative Party. So in the Patrick's instance, it was due to go ahead on January 17. That was put off to January 27, 28, and that's now been put back again to Feb 7. So we certainly hope to buy Feb 7, that we're fairly close to getting an agreement. But the reality is it's no good for our members if their agreements are terminated. But at the same time, it's no good for them. Now, when we take protected action, you've got the Prime Minister weighing in saying, you know, we'll get the Army to come in and do the work, and, you know, the MUA is this, the MUA is that. Militancy, it's got to stop. You know, you can't have the supply chain being interrupted like this.
And Patrick's wants to constrain the supply chain to Monday to Friday, 7 hours a day.
And just create havoc Australia-wide. Yeah. Not a peep. Not a peep from the, I hate saying leader, but the bloke who's in...
What's his name? Mr. Morrison?
Yeah, I just shouldn't even say his name. It's a disgrace. So it really is ordinary behaviour on their behalf. we've only ever taken protected action, which is legal, to try and further our cause. And the reality was with the Patrick dispute, they weren't meeting with us. And we said, well, the only way we can get them to meet is we need to take action. So as you can imagine, there's been a lot of meetings going on, and we're meeting, and there's a lot going on with our national official, Jamie Newland, who looks after Patrick's, and he's doing his best to try and get an agreement. And so we think we're getting reasonably close, but as soon as we get close, you know, we've all been through it, but there's curveballs. So we certainly hope to, we had a meeting yesterday, Wednesday, and there'll be another one tomorrow, Friday. And we would like to think that we're getting there, and that we can get an agreement. So that's been the reason for the adjournments of the termination cases, as we work through trying to get an agreement and get some drafting done around that. So,
which is good. That's a good step. But it's been a pretty long battle getting to this point. I mean, we have been negotiating for 2 years, and so Switzer, and
yeah.
Now Switzer's taken the same path, eh, Dave?
Yeah, I'll get on to that in a second. But so the truth of the matter is that a workplace agreement, an EA, something that we all work together to develop, and both parties put their interests and claims forward and negotiate an outcome that suit both parties, actually works in the interests of the business as well, doesn't it? Because the flexibilities provided under the EA are not there in the award.
No, that's right. And that's the the funny thing with the Patrick's one, and this is where, you know, we can say this without having to get legal advice, they're lying on one of the two instances. So in the first instance, they're applying to have the agreement terminated, saying that it's not fit for purpose.
Yep.
And on the other hand, they're dealing with this in the background to get a rollover. Now, you're lying on one of them, and you're working so hard to get the rollover to happen,
but
clearly you're lying in your application to terminate, saying it's not fit for purpose.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that was us, can you imagine the uproar if the MUA was putting out mixed messages and, you know, just, you know, anyhow, we know which way it's all, which way the Fair Work Commission. Who named it Fair?
I think it was
The rollover isn't quite exactly the same as, they're not after exactly the same. That's a misnomer though, isn't it, the rollover?
Well, it is, Annie, but the reality is that it's a rollover with some tweaks around, you know, parts of the agreement. But in the bigger scheme of things, 90-something, be 95% of the agreement will be the same. To say you are having a rollover, same when we did the cube rollover, it was a rollover with some minor tweaks that both parties agreed upon.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing here.
Yeah, and some of us, some formatting and just formalising the way things operate under the agreement as well, and just altering that. But largely it's a rollover, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And Aaron mentioned that Switzer have also applied to have their agreement torn up in the same way that Patrick's have. And interestingly, both Patrick's and Switzer use the same lawyers.
Yeah.
Just about every major employer in our industry does.
And obviously has the same Liberal government supporting that move. And it's a totally destructive move. All it is a race to the bottom. The MUA have engaged all our lobby groups and all our friends to sort of gather around us and provide us some support with the Switzer situation, as have they done with the Patrick's situation. But I guess what makes the tugboat industry a little bit more international is that it's owned by Maersk, the Maersk Group, which is the big international Danish shipping company who made the biggest single profit in Danish history last financial year. They're the ones who own Switzer. And because of our European connections through the ITF and that, we have got great support through the ITF coming in from internationally to support our position and to put pressure on Maersk, and therefore pressure on Switzer to come to the table and negotiate. The hearing was meant to be 2 days ago. With regards to that application, it has been postponed. Like Patrick, it's funny how often these things seem to get postponed. So that looks like being next week now. We do have a couple of other things in Fair Work Australian Court with Switzer at the moment. One of them is, and we did this just before they applied to have the agreement torn up, we put an order on them to get them to get to the table and bargain in good faith. And so they have to answer that today. So it'll be interesting to see what the commission says. Oh, clearly there are, you know, they couldn't support Switzer's position in any way because they're clearly not bargaining in good faith.
Yeah, that, well, yeah, Patrick, we put bargaining orders on Patrick's as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, Patrick's obviously.
The unfortunate thing for us is that just because something's morally right doesn't mean that legally they're going to uphold it in the commission because it's not even a real court.
No, that's right.
But we need these companies to understand that just by threatening the MUA and its members with tearing up their enterprise agreements, that we won't just jump at shadows.
Yeah.
And we will fight, and we will fight to get the best outcome. So don't think you can just come to us, throw a deal on the table.
Take it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. Threaten to actually apply the Fair Work Commission to tear up our EA and we'll take whatever you throw at us. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
This union is 150 years old this year and we will fight to get the best outcomes. We don't jump at shadows.
Let's make that a full segment, Robbie says.
I've got no kids to pick on anymore. They've all grown up. So I've got to tell someone.
Well, you know, the way the system has been operating, we've had this same federal Liberal Party government for quite a long time, and the Fair Work Commission appointees to this point have become the appointees from this government have all been pro-business.
Yeah.
It's very...
They're all management staff.
Yeah, it's very unbalanced.
Absolutely.
Extremely. And they're in a rush to put, I think they appointed prior to Christmas, I think there was another two 30. More. And then they appoint two more deputy commissioners just prior to Christmas, which were appointed by the government as they scrambled to get to load it up prior to the election.
So
it is a difficult situation.
I mean, it's completely unfair. That's the point. It's unfair.
The Unfair Work Commission.
And just to remind members of, you know, some of the dirty play that Switzer has engaged in during this process. I mean, in the middle of the EBA discussions, they made their entire Geelong workforce redundant and subcontracted their two vessels down to subcontracted those two vessels to a third party, which a non-union organisation. They've also applied to have their consultation clauses removed from their agreement, which is just amazing during a period when, you know, COVID is affecting all the workers and people need to be communicating in their workplaces. They've just done one low act after another. And they're being run by a bunch of lawyers instead of people that actually know about the towage industry. And it is a really precarious time for the towage industry because it is an industry plagued by different employment models, certainly not models that are friendly to our, you know, union membership. And, you know, it's a partnership type arrangement.
Not beneficial for the workers at all. It's just transferring risk and stripping out wages and conditions. Of all
sham contracting.
Sham contracting.
It is. And let's hope that our industrial laws, as weak as they are, do manage to keep our members working.
And it's not just the big multinationals that are emboldened by their mates in the government at the moment as well. Like local companies, Perth Local, but Australian-owned companies like Bhagwan also came into the last meeting pretty aggressive and pretty hostile. And we, prior to Christmas, Dave, you remembered that we thought we were pretty close to an agreement. We were a few dollars off. We'll just nutting out some wages and we're going to be pretty close to an agreement. The draft was going to be sent in and we'd start that process. But they came in last week threatening our delegates and carrying on. And it was an outrageous sight from them considering how close we were to an agreement. But that just shows that all companies are emboldened at the moment. The negotiations will continue with them. They do all the maintenance around the Port of Melbourne and a lot of diving, a lot of wharf carpentry. But we also are moving into the broader diving industry as well, so with other companies coming on board, which is great. But it is just loads of companies being emboldened by, I guess, the federal election. Their mates giving them some sort of green light to go and screw over workers.
Aaron, you're doing a good job in getting Bhagwan. Truthfully, have never been union friendly, but you've managed to organise that workplace. And now I know the branch is doing a fair bit of work.
we still call it the branch, but you, then we'll get you to do the work in getting the divers organised as well. And that just, you know, the more we can bring into the inside the tent, the better off we are, yeah, obviously.
And the diving industry will, of course, pick up a fair bit, hopefully, over the next 12 months or 2 years. Yeah, there's a lot happening.
There's a fair bit of inshore work, but there's also a fair bit of offshore work, particularly as the NOPSEMA mandated rig decommissioning commences
in Bass Strait.
2023 to 2025, I think there's 20-something rigs out there.
An enormous amount of infrastructure from the oil and gas industry needs to be removed, and from Bass Strait in particular. Yep. I think Bass Strait's a pretty big focus point, and there's going to be a lot of work there. And actually, NOPSEMA have done something about it after a lot of lobbying from the MUA, of course.
I find it amazing that companies can come in, strip the natural resources, leave everything behind and go off and just go on to the next job and leave it all behind, and we've got to pick up the...
Yeah.
So it creates work for us, but the work's there regardless.
Well, and, you know... and
that's I find it amazing.
Well, that's one of the things that was a big sticking point with the offshore renewable bill, because they want the offshore company, the renewable companies, to front up the bill for it to be cleaned up afterwards. But that's not a requirement for the oil and gas ones. They just get to come in and say, yeah, nah, don't worry about it. Fuck yous, you're out.
Yeah.
Catch us later.
Yeah, extraordinary.
Where are you going?
Just another hurdle in front of renewable energy.
But speaking of the Bass Strait, mate, there's been some issues down on TT line, hey?
Oh, there's been a lot of issues, mainly COVID-related issues. You know, there's a couple of instances where the Spirit of Tasmania was forced to stay alongside with concerns around health issues, and those rat tests were brought on board, and I believe up to about 11 crew members tested positive, who were then forced off board. And, you know, it has been a really difficult time for those crew, and they've done an amazing job down there keeping those ships sailing. I don't think they've missed a single sail, which is really quite extraordinary. And generally speaking, everyone's staying really healthy. So they've
done a massive job on the crew, being able to isolate and cordon off sections so that they can do everything safely and continue to operate safely.
Yeah.
Yeah, real big job by the crew,
and
I would say.
And it's difficult not to have a show talking about COVID a little bit, because it continues to have a big impact on our industry. And, you know, we've just heard this morning that the Inco Bunker Barge has a couple of COVID-positive cases on board. That's being dealt with as we speak. And, again, that's an essential service that will continue. And our crew are doing everything they can to make sure that that ship does continue to bunker the Bass Strait trade. I think that's their primary function, to be honest. Most important one.
Yeah, it is. It is. It is a really important function, because vessels don't get out or back to sailing. So turns out they need fuel.
And Aaron, we're trying to kick the youth off again. We're doing some work around that. What have you got planned for us?
Mate, we... yes, so the MUA youth is just basically members under the age of 35. And we're looking to
hold... How old are you, mate? You're about 36 or 37, aren't you?
Fucking wish. no, I am...
You're watching about a couple of rough years.
Yeah, well, that was a little rough for that one.
Jesus, fuck.
How about these guys?
No mirrors on my joint, mate.
Yeah, no, but mate, if there is, there's grease on them, because they're both bloody hideous. God, you are old. When did you retire? Like 2 years ago.
Moving on. Come on.
I thought we were meant to retire at 65. I don't know what you told us sitting in the room. Yeah, but the youth, so actual young people, we're going to be kicking off a meeting next Thursday. So we'll have hopefully a lot of our youth members come into the MUA office down here in Island Street. It'd be good to see as many as we can get there. It'll be a relatively short meeting. It'll be more about what we can do planning our celebrations for the 150-year celebration of the union. So what the youth's role in that's going to be. So there will be a party later in the year. What that looks like, we need members under 35 to help us figure that out and get the ball rolling there. So we want as many in there on Thursday, the 10th of February at 2:30. Meeting will only run for an hour, and it leaves a bit of a time to catch up over some light refreshments.
Sounds
following cool. The meeting.
Sounds like a bit of fun.
Before you leave... Tasmania, which you already have because you've moved on to youth, but what about the ship going in Devonport ploughing into the
that was the Goliath. was unbelievable. I think the skipper's in a bit of strife. So he failed to report the incident, which is just extraordinary.
Just flipped a couple of times.
That's an allegation that he failed to report. The investigation, I think, is still underway, isn't it?
Yeah, fortunately, no one was hurt.
Yeah,
no, none of our members were hurt.
But someone shut it on a phone.
The tugs. There was no one on the tugs at the time. Fortunately,
2 hours earlier there would have been a full crew.
So that was the Goliath, the cement ship, Dave.
Yeah, that's right. Supplies cement to the Australian Cement Company here in Victoria and moves between Tassie and Victoria. Our crew were on board that. So yeah, but. Like it's stuck in Tassie now for a period of time, a bit while the incident gets investigated, I imagine. Yeah. There must be some damage to the Goliath. And apparently the wharf is severely damaged as well.
How did that happen?
It happened here in Victoria at the end of December. Early December. Remember the car ship spun and hit Webb Dock and took a chunk of our
seat. That was when it was
It was in the turning basin, yeah.
And the wind got it and...
Yeah, and it smashed up a big chunk of the wharf.
But this was just floating straight at it, you know, and...
It looks quite slow on the video, but when you're a lot closer to it, they're moving a lot faster than it looks. I've been on the wharf before and they come slam alongside and they hit and the whole wharf shakes and obviously I wasn't scared.
There's an investigation and one initial report said one of the automatic things failed and that's what caused it to happen.
Yeah. But you use thrusters.
Then you change the batteries in the remote before they change. I think the skipper's in a fair bit of strife. Also, there was certain conditions with the river, the Mercy, when it comes in, that you're not allowed to come in or you've got to ask permission from the port to enter under those certain conditions, which he failed to do as well, and those conditions were the prevailing
allegedly.
Conditions. Allegedly. Allegedly. Yeah, it was not there.
It is incredible. I mean,
tugs cost a million. That's millions of dollars of damage, right?
And it leaves like those ports also have to have a certain amount of tugs in there for their contingencies for other vessels as well. So it leaves that wide open, which is a risk to a lot of other vessels and the port's sovereignty, I guess, for lack of a better word.
So if you're planning on cementing your driveway, do it soon. I'm tipping the Goliath and the cement company are up for an absolute monster.
It's going to be a few dollars more expensive to do your driveway next week.
We should quickly report back on a couple of big events we've had recently. Picnic Day, of course, in January, and that came at a time when Omicron was absolutely going crazy. We ummed and ahed, and in the end we decided it was an outdoor event. People could not, you know, it was up to people whether they brought their own men, their children, family, and that.
Great. We put in a heap of additional safety measures.
There was a lot of extra safety measures. We had the St. John's ambulance there. We had social distancing measures set up.
Supplied, all that sort of jazz.
And it was a great day. And people that did turn up, we thanked them for turning up. I think really the numbers were significantly down, probably up to about 60%. But that made for a really leisurely day for everybody who did come. There was no queues at the rides. And, yeah, it was generally a great day. Perfect weather. You know, the picnic has been cursed for the last 4 years in... You remember 3 years ago, it was the smoky picnic and there was smoke everywhere. Then last year it was cancelled. And now this year it was the Omicron. So we can't wait to have an unaffected, unimpacted picnic next year where everybody can enjoy.
I missed it because I actually caught COVID.
You did.
And I was isolating at home.
So. Yeah.
Oh, you got the Sydney sneeze.
Is that what it's been called?
And the other great event we had was the Life Members Dinner, and that was a fair while ago.
The old timers do.
Prior to Christmas?
Yeah. Paddy Crumlin attended.
Always a good event.
We may have reported back on that already, but anyway, that was another great event, and everyone had a great time, and it was.
And we've got the Life Members Lunch coming up.
Next week.
Next Wednesday, the 9th of February. That'll be at Moonee Valley Racecourse.
RSVP if you haven't.
That was postponed from November. We decided to postpone it. once again, it'll probably be affected by numbers because of people worrying about the... But we've got all the measures in place, and if you can let the branch know if you're coming or not, that'll be great.
And we've got an exciting guest speaker for that event.
We do. We've got Thomas Mayer, our Indigenous officer, National Indigenous Officer, will speak at that event, which we're all looking forward to. It was a great initiative of the branch to invite Thomas down for that. Anyone who's listened to Thomas speak, he's, you know, some people have just got it.
Yeah.
And Thomas is a great speaker and well worth a listen to.
Because he'll be speaking primarily about getting the in First Nations people a voice inside the Constitution, the Uluru Statement.
And upholding the objectives of the Uluru Statement, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. I know we just spoke about it, but if you've ever, Thomas has the ability to recite the Uluru Statement by heart. It's just phenomenal. Absolutely amazing to watch him do that. So that'll be really exciting.
Yeah, look, on a more somber note, today is the Thursday, Feb 3. We've got the funeral of the former Joint Secretary of the MUA, Graham Crow. For those that have, we've sent the emails out, but for those that just want a reminder, it's this morning at 11 a.m. at Bell's Funerals, 179A Bell Street, Preston, for those who'd like to wish to attend. And so Graham was the first Joint Secretary when the amalgamation took place with McDonald.
So WWF and the MUA amalgamated, and the policy was that both secretaries maintain their positions for the first term,
yep,
which was a great initiative of the union.
So anyone who'd like to go along and pay their respects to Graham, that's the details. And if you still didn't get that, just phone the branch. We'll give those to you.
All right.
Wind it up. So
I reckon...
what about our mate from Canada? Has he been on the phone again?
He has, yeah. Corey gave us a buzz. Number one ticket out of this show, I reckon, eh?
I'm sorry I missed your calls, Corey.
Yeah, held. But Corey shot us through some songs, and I think we've got to pick this one out today, which is Spanish Bombs by The Clash. Probably to thanks to Corey for sending those through, but it's a bit of recognition for Spitzer and Patrick trying to drop bombs on our workforce.
Thanks, members.
Have a great day, members.
And thank you, Annie.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Have a great day.
In the days of 39, oh, please leave the Vendana open. Frederico Lockers, dead and gone. Bullet holes in the cemetery wall. The black car of the Guardia of the Beer. Spanish bombs on the Costa Rica are dying in on the DC-10 tonight.
Spanish bombs,
you got the Quiero y Benito. Just the Quera, oh my God, a thong. Bonito, just the Quera, oh my God, a song. Spanish weeks in my disco casino. The freedom fighters died up on the hill.
They sang the red flag.
They wore the black one after they died in for Mockingbird Hill. Back from the buses, went up in flashes. Irish too, drenched in blood. Spanish bombs shattered the hotels. My senoritas was smit in the bar. Bonito, just the Quera, oh my corazón.
Spanish bombs,
just the Quera y Bonito, just the Quera, oh my corazón. The hillsides ring with through the people. Can I hear?
bonito, yo te quiero, oh my corazón.
Listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.